and welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us today, guys. This is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann.
Today you're listening to episode 173.
Today on the podcast, we're going to be listening to music written by film composers. So a lot of these people, you know, are well known in the world of games, but they're also people, you know, who work in film and television outside of video games. It's fun. The track that we're playing in with today is actually not from a video game. This is from the new movie Inside Out, composed by Michael Giacchino.
We broke the rules.
I wanted to include this one because this is an example of a modern piece of film music that to me really sounds like video game music. And
Does
so I thought it would be sort of a fun way to introduce sort of the concept of the show. What we're going to be doing today is playing practically all tracks that are, it's all going to be from games, but it's going to be, like I said before, written
for the
by
most
composers,
part, it's going to be composers that got their name in films, composers that are more active, more prolific in films. Now, there's going to be a couple examples where that's not the case, where it's a composer that mostly does games but has done films as well.
Right.
They're still be considered a film composer. So
totally.
Every single composer featured on today's episode could be considered a film composer.
Well, and I think we're going to be talking about a couple composers that maybe have projects in the works, or just film composers in general that are now starting to work in games. Because part of the cool thing is contemporary video game music, especially for big budget, you know, multi-million dollar projects, they get the budgets for
the
hiring
the
film
big guns,
and TV.
Yeah. And that's really become the case in the past couple years, even more so. We're starting to see certain names pop up that we never saw before.
Yeah, something I found kind of interesting, because I was looking into, you know, are there any composers that have done games that maybe I hadn't, you know, like really famous composers and I'd never heard
and
of the game.
Definitely
there
are.
There are a couple examples, but one that I found kind of interesting that we're not going to play on the podcast today is Alexandre Desplat, who's one of the great living film composers of this era. He's fantastic. He's done so many things. He actually worked on some music for the original Splinter Cell.
Interesting.
He did like one of the opening cinematics or something.
Okay.
I don't think he's credited because there's other music.
But I mean, there's no shortage of great stuff today. Pretty much every single track for the most part is orchestral. So that's also another funny thing, is that wasn't purposeful, that we didn't like go out of our way to do that. We just picked, okay, what are the biggest film composer names that have worked on video games, you know, and we just try to pick the best tracks from those soundtracks. They're all orchestral. So that
right.
does tell you something about the modern tradition of game music and film music, is it's almost all orchestral.
Well, the orchestra is not going away.
Yeah.
It's timeless. It's what a great institution.
So yeah,
you know?
Let's get things started with a composer by the name of Christopher Lennertz, and he has done a lot of films, and he also has done some games too. This is a game called Medal of Honor European Assault. Let's take a listen to the main theme.
Thank you.
very beautiful stuff. You know, the Medal of Honor series has a long-running tradition of outstanding orchestral music, real performance in virtually every single Medal of Honor soundtrack. Obviously, Michael Giacchino did the original for the PlayStation. This is Medal of Honor European Assault, which came out for the PS2, Xbox, and GameCube, and it's composed by Christopher Lennertz, who's a very prolific film composer, not really doing any like huge films that people would necessarily be talking about the music, but he's one of those people that's very, very busy.
There's a lot of film composers that just kind of operate in the background.
Yeah, most recently there's a movie coming out soon called The Wedding Ringer that he did, Horrible Bosses, Think Like a Man, The Open Road, Meet the Spartans, Alvin and the Chipmunks, many, many more.
A lot of B and C movies,
for sure. But yeah, Will, what are your thoughts on this track?
This is awesome. This is really gorgeous. I mean, I really like Michael Giacchino's Medal of Honor music, and that sort of has its own distinct style that feels very sort of patriotic. It kind of reminds me of like what John Williams did in Saving Private Ryan or JFK.
Yeah, that
kind of has that like brassy, tragedy, patriotic quality.
Using the solo trumpet, first of all, it's a very big sound. I don't know where they're recording it, but it's like a very kind of room-heavy solo trumpet. And some of the intervals that they always do in these melodies.
Very bugle-esque.
Bugle-esque, a lot of open fifths and fourths. It's just, it's definitely very appropriate for a game like this. So that's beautiful stuff. Good way to start off today. Now we're going to keep the metal vein going, and we're going to, instead of metal with a D, this is metal with a T. Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. This is Harry Gregson Williams.
He's a British composer.
Yeah, he's a great composer. And we're going to play a track called Sidecar Escape from the Fortress. Let's take a listen to this track from Metal Gear Solid 3. This is so cool. You guys are listening to Sidecar Escape from the Fortress by the wonderful Harry Gregson Williams from Metal Gear Solid 3. Now, this was a collaborative soundtrack worked on with Noriko Hibino as well. Now, Noriko Hibino, he actually did that awesome main theme, Snake Eater, that kind of Bond-esque song. But Gregson Williams did a lot of great work in this soundtrack. So many wonderful credits as far as film music goes. Chicken Run, Shrek.
A movie that he did that I particularly liked was The Chronicles of Narnia, the first movie. There's this really beautiful melody in it that Mr. Tomness, the fawn, plays on this little instrument. And I remember it's this really haunting...
He's done an incredible amount. He did The Town, Prometheus, the recent Total Recall reboot.
He did that X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, he's a wonderful composer. Well, is there anything about this track? Because today we're playing video game music. Now, it's from film composers, and there's some examples where it's like it's really hard to tell the difference.
Well,
but
this reminds
this
me of something
video
you would
gaming.
Hear like, on television as well, because it's sort of like covering up the fact that these are virtual instruments with all these kind of modern techno synth elements to the percussion and the drums and everything that sort of give it like a modern, I guess, rock energy to it. And that reminds me of stuff you hear like on TV. Like I'm just thinking of the music to 24 by Sean Callery, you know, is very sort of similar as far as like obviously, you know, virtual instruments, but masking it with these other kind of percussion elements.
Yeah, Sean is a person that didn't get on this playlist, primarily known for his TV work.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of other composers that just kind of missed the cut today because They really are more known for their television stuff.
And it's funny. I feel like a lot of video game music is a little bit closer to some of that music, just as far as this style, because up until recently, you know, it's expensive to record an orchestra, and I don't think a lot of games put in the kind of budget for that. And games are bigger, and so the scoring sessions would be more elaborate and would require more. So we get a lot of soundtracks that kind of use virtual instruments in this way and, you know, use other kind of types of fake techno percussion to mask the false nature of the sounds.
Well, I'm excited to move on to Bear McCreary. Now, he's a wonderful composer that is very, very active in television as well as film. Now, TV, if anyone watches The Walking Dead, he does that. He also does Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Black Sails, tons of other TV shows, as well as movies. The game that we're going to play, he's only done a couple games. Dark Void was the first game he ever did, which is absolutely amazing musically. This is another game he did recently. It's called Defiance. So we're going to play the theme from Defiance, composed by Bear McCreary. Such a wonderful track. You guys are listening to the theme from Defiance, composed by Bear McCreary. This track is so wonderful. It's really embracing the modern production elements and the electronic elements combined with orchestral. And that is something we hear all the time in video games. And we do hear it to lesser extent in movies and TV, but this definitely does strike me as game music.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very blatantly kind of loud and intense. And I think oftentimes film music really serves as underscore background kind of stuff. Even if you have heavy action movie music, they probably wouldn't, you know, blast you with that kind of distorted dubsteppy kind of sound. What I really love about Bear McCreary as a composer is he has a tremendous amount of reverence towards the history of film music. You know, he really likes people like Max Steiner, Elmer Bernstein, John Williams, people like that, and he really knows his film music, and I think he has a great sense of melody and scoring and all those things, but he also is really comfortable using the tool belt of a modern day composer, and
so
honestly,
true.
I think he kind of blends those dynamics better than anyone else, just in my opinion. I always am a big fan of his work.
He's great. Well, now we're going to move on to another incredibly active film composer. This is Lorne Balfe, and he works all the time, almost exclusively, with Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people. Hans Zimmer is kind of like has this huge posse. I mean, Harry Gregson Williams worked with him. I feel like a lot of the people we're going to play today have worked with Hans Zimmer.
And now a lot of times, even in games, that'll be the case. We're going to get, later today, we are going to play a Hans Zimmer composition, but, you know, for the Call of Duty series, a lot of times they would work together. This is a soundtrack solely composed by Lorne. This is Assassin's Creed 3. Let's take a listen to a track called Fight Club. Thank you. You guys are listening to Fight Club from Assassin's Creed 3. There's no subtitle in this game, just Assassin's Creed 3, composed by Lorne Balfe, wonderful composer. I believe he's British. There's a lot of additional composers in this game, Max Arouge, David Fleming, and a bunch more, but this one was composed by Lorne. He's just done a lot of great work in films and games, very active in games. He's definitely much more than someone like Bear McCreary. He's just done tons and tons of video games.
Yeah, I think he's really kind of embracing the medium to do things that really you don't necessarily get the opportunity for in film music.
Now, I wonder how much of that has to do with these composers' age. Now, for example, Lorne is only 39, so fairly young when you think about the entire industry, especially the film industry. He's going against people that are in their 80s and things. So I wonder if that has to do with it. Or these are people that either grew up with games or are just much more familiar with, you know, ways to get into that industry.
Right. I think it's probably a little bit easier to get into games too. I mean, I think there's probably a lot of composers that want to work in films and TV and games. And so games are probably a little bit easier to get jobs for. But what I think is interesting about something like this is this really doesn't sound a lot like film music. And I think one of the reasons for that also, we've talked about sort of the difference in function and how video game music can kind of be just repeating and isn't responding specifically to events on the screen unless, you know, it's edited together or something like that. But what I think is interesting just musically is I think video game music is a little bit louder in the overall sound mix where when you watch a film, you know, there's certain times where the score is brought up, but for the most part, it's very quiet, especially in modern films. Like the dialogue and sound effects track is really loud and the music's oftentimes brought down to be pretty quiet, which is why so much modern film music has such a reliance on that percussion and really kind of bassy sounds. Like when you think of the cliche Hans Zimmer sounds. Yeah, because it sort of cuts through, but it can still sit in balance and it's not interfering with anything in the vocal range.
Yeah, there is actually an intentional, like kind of purposeful reason behind that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, it's kind of like just sort of the modern trend of really limiting everything and making everything sort of as loud as possible for the whole thing.
Well, enough Western composers. It's finally time to move on to a Japanese composer. This is the wonderful Kohei Tanaka, who definitely started off in films and anime, Japanese anime, has done so much work, definitely more work in films than in games for sure, but he's done some amazing work in video games. We're a really big fan, obviously, of the Gravity Rush soundtrack. We had a spotlight on it this past season. So we love that soundtrack.
Check that episode out because that is just a lot of fun, particularly if you like Nintendo-esque orchestral music. Like
it's
if you like
Mario
Galaxy, it's
super melodic and wonderful. Really so Gravity Rush he did. This is a game he did a couple years before that. I believe this is 2010. This is Resonance of Fate, and he actually worked on this with Motoi Sakuraba. This was a collaborative soundtrack by two wonderful and very different composers. This is a track that was solely composed by Kohei
Tanaka. Motoi Sakuraba should really do a movie.
So this is a Tanaka track called The Beginning of Eternity.
Thank you.
love that track. That's the beginning of Eternity from Resonance of Fate, composed by one of my favorite composers, Kohei Tanaka. Love how emotional and particularly how dang melodic this is compared to the tracks we've played so far. It's just absolutely wonderful.
Well, yeah, it's just as far as color and texture, it feels very sort of polychromatic. That's not a musical term. I'm meaning sort of like a, it's very colorful,
yeah,
and accessible, even if it's not always like melodic. Just the chord choices feel like more old school film music, very simple, very pure. It really brings the essence of classic video game music with the power of the orchestra. I really love Kohei Tanaka.
And that's something that some of these Japanese composers in recent years are really able to do better than anyone.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
It seems like they don't have sort of the same standards of needing to be kind of cool,
yep,
and just rocking that a lot of modern Western
scores and you know
feel
what?
The need to
you,
capture.
You bring up an interesting point, because let's take this soundtrack as an example. The Sakuraba tracks weren't anything like this. He's a different composer. So his tracks were a little bit cooler and a little bit more modern and grittier.
Right.
And Kohei Tanaka, this is someone who's just has a very different style and has a different emphasis on melody.
I have a feeling he's probably a little bit more kind of stubborn or confident in, I write this kind of music and this is what energy I want to contribute to the world. And Motoi Sakuraba strikes me as someone who's very versatile and can
do
just...
Yeah, he definitely
is. You know, you can't really recognize, oh, that's Motoi Sakuraba. You just know, oh, that's a great piece of music and he's responsible for so much awesome stuff.
Really, really cool. That's my favorite track so far today.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
We'll see if
great.
We can top that.
I really
as
like
we
that.
Go
da,
on
da, 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 da,
I know we are going to top it because I know what the track of the week is. But okay, now we're going to move on to Call of Duty Black Ops 2, composed by probably the biggest name in some ways. This is Trent Reznor. Not necessarily from a film music perspective, but just from a music perspective.
Right.
Anyone who knows Nine Inch Nails. Recently, it wasn't that long ago that Trent started to get involved in film music. You know, obviously, he was just known as Nine Inch Nails, and I don't remember what his... The first thing I was familiar with was The Social Network, as far as something he scored.
He's done quite a few movies since
he's pretty prolific now. But yeah, wonderful style. Talk about, very noticeable style. When you listen to Trent Reznor...
I love The Social Network.
When you listen to his music, it's so obvious that it's him. Let's take a listen to the main theme. This is the only thing he composed for this game, from Black Ops 2. You guys are listening to the main theme from Call of Duty Black Ops 2, composed by Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails fame. And Will was telling me that he actually did Quake in 96.
Yeah, I think maybe under the Nine Inch Nails kind of
But yeah, definitely almost no video game work except for this.
A very different... perspective, I think, on scoring, because I think he comes from obviously a different type of musical tradition. But what's interesting is like his scores always feel very modern, but I don't think they necessarily succumb to some of the same cliches that I think a lot of just forgettable movie scores have. Like, mm-hmm. The Social Network in particular, it actually had a very memorable melody. It was very slow, atmospheric, mm-hmm. and spacey. I remember the piano melody.
Yeah, I remember. I'll never forget the opening of that movie being so just, like, blown away with not only, like, the tone and the writing and the acting, but the music, too. Yeah. All of it was just really kind of hitting you over
and
the face.
It kind of has a bookend thing and plays throughout the movie and... really yep. good. I really like Trent Reznor. I kind of enjoy his film scores. He also did like mm-hmm. Gone Girl, and
that's a great one too.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Those are perfect fits for his music. Oh, yeah. I love the darkness. Now we're going to move on to another Japanese composer, probably my favorite Japanese film composer of all time. This is Joe Hisaishi.
He's one of the great composers.
Yeah, absolutely. He worked exclusively for Miyazaki for many years, and this is the only video game he ever did. So we were so excited when we heard about this. This is Ni no Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch.
Well, and it was a lot of the animation was done by Studio Ghibli.
That's true. And this is a wonderful track called Miracle Reunion. Here we go. Oh man, this is beautiful. You guys are listening to Miracle Reunion from Ni no Kuni, composed by the one and only Joe Hisaishi. He just has this direct line into my emotions and
right.
any of the players, yeah. everybody's emotions. Absolutely wonderful composer. This is an awesome track. Well, let's talk about maybe some things this track does that remind you of kind of what you love about Hisaishi. For me, it's the reliance on the solo piano mixed
with the
orchestra.
Yeah, the mixture of piano and orchestra is so classic. I particularly enjoy his orchestration because when the piano is a focus, it's sort of supplying the basics, you know, the melody and general chords. And then he relies on the other members of the orchestra to do various little counter melodies or just a few short note interludes. But
sure.
I don't know. It feels like a very traditional, classically trained, intelligent sense of orchestration. There's a particular moment in there when you had, I think, flutes and woodwinds and everything doubled with the Glockenspiel, and it
yeah.
was this little counter melody,
that is
and
so
it just
effective.
Felt so delicate, but a really confident move by an orchestral master. And it's the type of thing that, especially on today's playlist, really stands out as being, you know, symphonic and not really kind of the orchestra being used as, you know, a member
I know
of
what you
the
mean.
Rock band.
It feels
know?
A little bit more traditional in a good way. Well, now we're going to move on to another Medal of Honor game. This is Medal of Honor Warfighter, composed by Ramin Djawadi, and this is a really beautiful emotional track called Four Rabbit.
Thank you.
this section here is so beautiful. I'm a really big fan of how he double-tracked acoustic guitars.
I don't know if it's double-tracked or if it's just a 12-string. It could be also a 12-string.
It's double-tracked. Guitar. You can tell by the panning. But this is a track called For Rabbit from Medal of Honor Warfighter by Ramin Djawadi. Wow. This is really cool. Very subtle.
Yeah, Ramin Djawadi is known for making the Game of Thrones theme. I think that's probably one of the more popular
things. Which is not a movie. That is a television show. If anyone...
Yeah, this is very
pretty. Has anyone heard of that little-known show called Game of... What's it again, Will?
Game of Thorns.
Game of Thorns. Should we see what are some
My
of the films he's done?
My dyslexia sometimes makes me think it's that.
He's done Thunderbirds, Blade Trinity, Mr. Brooks, Iron Man, The Unborn, Clash of the Titans, Red Dawn, among others. Cool. Now we're going to move on to Enon Zur, and this game is, from him, Dragon Age Origins, and we're going to play the main theme from Dragon Age Origins. You guys are listening to the title theme of Dragon Age Origins by Enon Zur, who's a ridiculously prolific video game composer. So many games, you know, the Siberia series, SOCOM, the Prince of Persia reboot in 2008, Fallout series, Crysis.
Some Assassin's Creed, too?
He's just done a ridiculous amount of stuff. EverQuest. This is an example of a video game composer who has happened to do some films.
Right, in television and
so
stuff,
that is a little bit of a different take than someone
I recognize him because he's on Top Score. He's on Emily's show all the time.
Yeah.
It seems like she has like at least three episodes with
him. It's definitely a different example than someone like Giacchino, who's like, you know, known for films but did a couple games here and there,
right.
You know. Really beautiful stuff. Now it's time to move on to the composer John Debney, and this is The Sims Medieval, a Sims game. I've never actually heard of this game before researching this composer. It was between this and, I think, Lair was another game that John Debney did, but I ended up choosing this. The Sims Medieval, this is a track called A Royal Reception. Here we go. Thank you. You guys are listening to A Royal Reception from The Sims Medieval by, so far, by far, the most prolific film composer of the day. This is John Debney. Definitely not a household name, but it's ridiculous how many movies he's done. You know, from Little Giants to Doctor Who, Liar, Liar, Lost and Found, Inspector Gadget. What else did he do? He did Spy Kids, The Princess Diaries, Scorpion King, Bruce Almighty, Elf. He got an Oscar for The Passion of the Christ, Spider-Man 2. This guy's just done tons of movies. A lot of them very, very big films. Sin City he did. So yeah, this guy is incredibly prolific. I'm not sure why his name doesn't ring as much of a bell as others.
Well, that's the cool thing about film composers is like you can find someone who's like, oh, I've never heard of that before, and then just look at their filmography and it's just like,
it's
great
ridiculous.
Movie, great movie, good score, good
yeah.
score. You know, it's just kind of interesting.
I will say that in the industry, people in the know that this is a guy, that a go-to
totally.
Guy. You know?
Well, I think the other thing is sometimes I think you get maybe a not-so-good composer who's worked on good films, and you listen to the music and it's yeah. like, oh, it's nothing special. And sometimes you get, you know, amazing composers that just kind of don't have the good luck of the draw.
Yeah.
Especially the people who are very prolific, they sometimes have a hit or miss experience.
Yeah, he also did a recent SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water.
I've been meaning to see that. I love SpongeBob.
Absolutely. All right, now it's time to move on to another Japanese composer. This is Yoko Kanno, who is definitely more of an anime composer, has done tons of anime work, film and television, and some video games as well. This is a wonderful soundtrack that was actually introduced to us on a recent listener show and tell episode. So it's fun to play another track from Napple Tale. This is a track called Wild Wind by Yoko Kanno. I love this. This whole soundtrack is absolutely delightful. This is from Napple Tale by the wonderful Yoko Kanno. Very close contender for track of the week. This track is Wild Wind. It's so good, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's so cool. The use of that sort of medieval flute is just so fun and yeah. effective, and it really has a dancey kind of feel to
it.
Well,
also because it builds up the track, because the first like minute is without that instrument, and you're already just loving it. It's just really nice arpeggios, really good chords, and then when that comes in, it's just kind of completing the picture.
Yeah, it's very dancey, really cute, very positive. Yeah, the chords I was really digging, sort of those
me too.
String harmonies were very excellent. I really want to check out more of this game, because
everything
we played from it, I've just adored.
All right, well, I'm very excited to move on to this week's Track of the Week. And it's not surprising that the track of the week was composed by Bruce Broughton. You know, I got to say,
favorites.
Out of any person other than John Williams lately on the podcast, the past like 15 episodes, how many times have we brought up Bruce?
Yeah.
I feel like even Tiny Toons alone, we've talked about
five
times.
I like bringing him up because I think he's one of the most underrated film composers. I agree. And underutilized. I think he's so incredible. I mean, one of the only movies that he ever got nominated for was Silverado.
Which is great. Yeah.
Which is a wonderful
score.
And
that was in 1985.
Right, but I think Bruce is somebody who he really kind of hasn't had the best luck. I mean, I think he's done some films that have had some success, but like he could be, I really think of him as like on the level of like an Alan Silvestri.
Well, when you think about, you know, his kind of heyday was definitely late 80s, early 90s. Right. Rescuers Down Under, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, right. So I Married an Axe Murderer,
but
Tombstone,
still,
things like that.
None of those
that.
Are films that you really associate with like a really prominent score. It is
Miracle
sort of
on
the
34th
luck of the,
Street.
It is sort of the luck of the draw, though, mm-hmm. As far as what films you get to work on, but I think he's immensely talented.
Let's take a listen to the main title from one of our favorite games growing up, Heart of Darkness. How you do it, folks. That was the main title from Heart of Darkness, composed by Bruce Broughton. He's definitely bringing his A game for the soundtrack.
So good.
Yeah, this is, it's just amazing. Giving it his all for the soundtrack. Now, what's cool is this game, you know, the reason why it sounds this good is probably the only upside of why this game was in development hell for like 7 years, I want to say. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Eric Chahi started working on it in 1990.
Right.
And it didn't release
until...
That's
the sad thing, is when it started being worked on, it was so cutting edge.
Yeah,
when
it wasn't released until 98, so which is one of the reasons the music sounds this good. But yeah, wonderful game. When it came out, the controls and the graphics were like 95 standards, and it was 98, and it was right. also pretty short, too.
You know, something, there's so many things about this piece that I love. I particularly love the first 30 to 45 seconds because it's one of the few yep. times in video games where you get the kind of class of a film, but really whimsical orchestration. Mm-hmm. And for any of you just listening to it, wondering why some of those choices exist, it's cut specifically in score to the specific beats of when the various logos are coming up. Mm-hmm. So that's something we almost never get in games, where you have this like sweeping, very whimsical, flourishy orchestral mm-hmm. music playing for, you know, the names of the companies that are coming up in all the various little titles. It really feels like something right out of like a classic Disney movie or something.
Yeah, there's no doubt this is the best track we're playing today. One thing I was bringing up to Will, though, is you know, we recently, not super recently, had that orchestral music episode. And I will say that some of the tracks in that episode were probably better than some of the ones today, but those weren't film composers. So it's not like film composers are writing the best orchestral music nowadays. There's some amazing stuff happening in video games. This is just another
point to make.
Yeah, there's just another kind of way of approaching orchestral music today, because these are people coming from the film
world. It's
probably
better to say that in the world of video games, maybe the best orchestral music isn't always people, but I mean, yeah. it's still, I mean, if we were in to include these people's film work, I mean, I kind of think that point. Some of that would blow the video game stuff out of the water. But this Bruce Broughton track, another thing I love, the orchestration is just impeccable. He's really able to capture sort of the fanfare-esque quality of something like Star Wars. The other thing I like, for a piece this incredible and visceral and satisfying, for it to end on such a, I guess, cliffhanger, but it, again, it's just so well-scored because it's dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And then as soon as the music stops, the teacher in the first cutscene, he slaps the desk and says, "Andy!" And then it's like, it immediately cuts you out of it. It's this powerful effect because like the character gets woken out of a dream, but you feel that way also because the music so abruptly stops.
It's just wonderful. Really that's great. How it's done, folks. So now we're going to move on to Sam Hulick. And this is another example of definitely more prolific in video games, but has happened to have done some films. This is from Mass Effect. Let's take a listen to a track, kind of a sad, tragic track called From the Wreckage. You guys are listening to From the Wreckage from Mass Effect, composed by Sam Hulick, who's only done a handful of films, all of them very small-scale films. But yeah, you know, it is fitting. It is actually, you know, we're not breaking the rules by playing this on today's episode. This is from Mass Effect.
Yeah, I think to me this one, especially coming out of that last track, feels much more sort of par for the course.
Yes.
Very kind of unelegant. I don't mean to be critical, but just kind of, this is sort of the modern style. Unelegant orchestration with just very kind of transparent doubling and octave doubling with the brass.
But really, really quality music for a video
game.
Yeah,
totally.
This is a series that is just incredibly well loved and very immersive. The music is a big part of the experience in the Mass Effect games. All right, now we're going to move on to, I believe, the last Japanese composer of the day. This is the wonderful Koichi Tsujiyama.
I'm so glad we're going to play this.
Absolute veteran. It's hard to say. I would say probably more prolific in film, but very prolific and very important.
He is so loved in Japan,
to video games.
He's written some, you know, like patriotic music.
Mm-hmm. He's also very active politically in Japan, too. I know he's done protests and he's very active in a lot of ways. But this, the Dragon Quest composer really is the best way to introduce him. We're going to play a track from Dragon Quest VIII. This is such a beautiful track. This is Peaceful Town, Quiet Village. You guys are listening to Peaceful Town, Quiet Village from Dragon Quest VIII, also known as Dragon Warrior VIII. by the one and only Koichi Sugiyama. This track is so impressive because it starts off with just some absolutely amazing melodic material that ends in about 5 seconds. It just completely stops, and it could have just kept going with that. Moves into something else.
Well, he really reminds me of Hasaishi in the sense that his music really pulls influence from classical music.
Yeah.
But it's like classical music infused with elements of jazz harmony, not in like a Rhapsody in Blue way where it's like
right.
really jazz through the modicum of the orchestra, but really that it's just like including certain, you know, major sevenths and jazz chord progressions, but into kind of the sophistication and the rhythmic sense and the form of classical music.
Sure.
And there's something about it I really love. And I think
very
Sugiyama
appealing.
Is almost like the pinnacle of it. And when he wants to do something that sounds like an old, you know, romantic waltz, or he wants to do something that sounds very, you know, Mozartian, he's really has the chops for that, both orchestrally and just from a music standpoint. I think it's really impressive.
He's absolutely amazing. Yeah, I will say that Koichi Sugiyama is definitely the oldest composer of the day. He's 84 years old right now.
So. Wow.
I love hearing the genres that you wouldn't expect from a composer his age in some of the video games he's worked on. You know, every now and then there'll be some sort of kind of like a fusion or like a rock kind of thing. And it's always cool to hear that mm-hmm. From someone who you wouldn't necessarily expect it from. But this is definitely kind of his forte. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now we're going to move on to Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, composed by Brian Tyler. Let's take a listen to a really swashbuckling track called The High Seas. You guys are listening to The High Seas from Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, composed by Brian Tyler, who's pretty much the go-to composer for like modern big budget blockbuster action movies. You know, Avengers, Age of Ultron, Expendables.
Well, he's one of the many.
Thor, The Dark World, Iron Man 3.
It seems like a lot of movies that come out today fall under that description.
That's true.
So there's a lot of kind of go-to composers.
In some ways, you could just say he's a modern film composer.
Yeah.
And that means he's probably going to do big budget yep. action movies.
Isn't that ever
and
true?
And a lot of reboots.
Yeah.
He does almost all the Fast and Furious movies as well. But I think this is a really fun track. This is a standout for me for the Assassin's Creed 4 soundtrack.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
He did a good job with it.
Yeah, I think it's sort of a tough bill for a composer, especially like if you grow up with the dream of like I want to be a film composer. A lot mm-hmm. of these people grew up to listening to scores like Star Wars, so
right.
I think a lot of them really want to infuse really kind of melodic sensibilities, but just sort of tastes. Contemporary tastes are really leaning toward chord-based stuff. You know, you don't want to take anyone out of the experience by having any sort of melody. And so I think somebody like Brian Tyler does a really good job of walking that line and having enough engaging things happening musically.
Sure.
And even if it is very sort of chord ostinato-based, yeah. there's enough unique instruments and there's different things with meter changes and rhythms. And
it's very intentional.
Very melodic chord
Well, it's
stuff.
Also, it's very intentional. He's doing everything for a reason. And that is a distinction to make is that even if something isn't necessarily that melodic or tuneful, it's still very high quality music
yeah.
that when you're playing this game, it helps to kind of make the game feel legit, and it helps make you feel like, okay, I'm glad I paid $60 for this thing. Yeah. It better be A-plus quality. Yeah,
for some reason, I feel like in video games, I'm almost more okay with really non-tuneful score, because in contemporary
games,
yes, especially when they find really creative uses with the technology, mm-hmm. where like you're running and then somebody notices you
in.
And then a new element comes in, like I think
it's
that
fun.
Really helps to add to the experience, where with a film you don't get that same sense. You're so accustomed, we're almost spoiled by, you know, good scores that closely are
the
married
thing is,
to the film.
In a film, everything is supposed to match, so when you're watching something match perfectly with the music, you're like, okay, that's what should have happened.
I think we take the magic of cinema for granted.
But in addition to that, when you're in control of that change, it's powerful.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's like films, for me, I still kind of am always waiting for the theme, where with games, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm playing like Tomb Raider, I'm not necessarily waiting for that theme to drop.
Yeah. Well, now
I shouldn't use that as an example, though, because Tomb Raider does have a good theme.
Yeah, but again, not by a film composer. Jason Graves. Okay, now we're going to move on to another Call of Duty, last Call of Duty one today, and this is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 by the big behemoth Hans Zimmer. He only did the main theme to this game. A lot of times that's what he'll
do. I like this main theme. I'm going to go on record. I really like this main
theme. This is beautiful.
Theme.
Really good.
Very captures, especially at the end of it, there's this like gorgeous stretch that feels very Russian. And
a lot of it does.
The nature of this melody actually was one of the big influences for me when we were working on Pocket Defender.
Oh, that's cool.
And we had to make a kind of Russian thing.
This is actually a very good tune. This is opening titles from Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Very beautiful track. You guys are listening to the opening titles from Modern Warfare 2, composed by the big head honcho Hans Zimmer, who, if anyone's not familiar, maybe you're not necessarily into film music, he works a lot with Christopher Nolan, the recent Interstellar, Inception, The Dark Knight films.
All the Batman movies. He worked on Batman Begins, Dark Knight, with James Newton Howard, and he did Dark Knight Rises by himself. I mean, yeah, he's one of the kind of big names, and he's probably the one person you could point to for most concretely establishing the contemporary style of film music. So naturally, I think Carl and I probably have some mixed feelings about him, but when Hans is on, like, I will say Interstellar is one of the greatest movie scores I've ever heard in my life. It's not what I, before I saw the movie, what I conventionally would think of as a great score, but he has an insane amount of talent. And he operates in a very different way from the composers that I typically kind of gush over. I think this is a great melody, though. I don't think of him as always someone who really writes a traditional melody in a very kind of song-esque form, but this is great. It has a great A section, great B section.
Well, in addition to that, it does use the kind of quintessential kind of cliche Zimmer-ish elements.
As far as the rhythms, taiko drums, all that stuff.
Yeah.
The thing that I might be the biggest fan of is the little kind of siren-y call that feels very Russian to me.
And then while that's going on the side, you hear the droning sound effects.
But particularly just that sequence of notes feels very well composed, very specific. It's used a lot actually in the game. It's one of those little motifs that really stands out to you. So
good
I'm
job,
a big
Hans.
Fan of this one.
All right, now we're going to move on to the only person we're having two tracks today. We played in with the Giacchino track. Time for an actual video game example. This is Medal of Honor Frontline, which I owned for the GameCube, but I'm sure a lot of you had it for the Xbox or PS2. Wonderful game, wonderful soundtrack. This is Arnhem Knights, composed by Michael Giacchino. You guys are listening to Arnhem Knights from Medal of Honor Frontline, composed by Michael Giacchino. Very subtle, maybe one of the most subtle, soft tracks of the day. And Will was mentioning just how contrasting this is to his work as of late.
Well, you see, I love Michael Giacchino. I typically love him because I think of him as one of the great ambassadors of like a really simple, catchy melody in film music. If I go to see a movie that he's working on, I know I'm going to get a great tune and I'm going to leave the theater humming it. Like we saw Inside Out.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing music. It's probably the most tuneful melodic score I've heard in the cinemas in a long time because it has at least four or five really memorable themes.
Well, in addition to that, guys, the entire movie, if anyone hasn't seen Inside Out, you gotta see it. It's just a knockout
so
of
good.
A movie.
But the thing about Michael, though, is I feel like he's kind of changed. When you listen to his early music like this or the Lost World game or
Lost.
Yeah, even Lost. The show. It feels very sophisticated. It's not necessarily super tuneful. It's very emotional and dealing with texture. And
subtle.
I feel like his orchestration is more subtle, where I think maybe the only downside I would ever say about Giacchino and his film music is sometimes it's very unsubtle.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain moments where it's like two octaves of trumpets and then another octave of trombones blasting something. And it's a little bit not super elegant. But I think it's interesting because you were making a good point that that's probably more of a choice. Because you listen to something like this, and it's
definitely
crazy to think this is so many years before that stuff.
I think Star Trek is a great example of, it's kind of the bridge between this and maybe Jurassic World, where it's bombastic and it's big, but it's just
so
masterful and
so
melodic.
Such a good melody.
It's
Jurassic World has a good melody. I mean, it can't really stand alongside John Williams' Jurassic Park
sure,
melody,
which he uses a lot.
It's pretty good
as well. Cool. Now, this is, in some ways, do you think, Will, this is maybe the biggest name today? It's either between this and Hans. This is Howard Shore.
Can you believe, I would say he's one of the bigger
can
names.
You believe that he did a game? This is the only game he's ever
so
done.
I think it's so funny, because I think of him as a very kind of erudite composer. Like, he's done the Lord of the Rings movies, but and he's done other films
tons
with, you know,
stuff.
Peter Jackson, and he did Hugo, Martin Scorsese movie. But he's a great composer. I think of him as being very melodic and tuneful. But he's also sort of a little bit of an art composer. I think he belongs somewhere in the sphere of contemporary classical music. I know he's written like operas.
So
and
it's
stuff.
Interesting.
It's interesting to think that he's done a video game.
Yeah, this is a PC game called Soul of the Ultimate Nation, which I think is like a massive multiplayer game.
I was
game.
Looking into him and I found this and like, oh, that sounds kind of like a Japanese game. And sure enough, it is a Japanese game.
Yeah, I think it is. It's either that or maybe Korean. I know that it's definitely not big over here, and the soundtrack for a while was only available in Asia. But yeah, Soul of the Ultimate Nation by Howard Shore. Let's take a listen to another very soft and subtle track called Sanctuary of Ether. Guys, thanks so much for joining us today as we took a look at video game music composed by film composers. This was a really, really interesting time because we've played a lot of orchestral modern video game music on the podcast, but there really was kind of a sense of cohesion for a lot of these tracks. So it is interesting to think about, coming at the orchestra from this perspective.
Right. Well, a lot of different uses of the orchestra, though. You know, something like this feels really kind of adult and mature and isn't kind of hitting you in the face with percussion or modern production. And then, you know, we have other examples of really flourishy orchestral music and really kind of modern stuff. So it is fun to hear that mix on the podcast.
Yeah, Will, you wanted to give a shout out to our playout track, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. So we played in with a track from Inside Out, a movie, and we're going to play out with a track from Wreck-It Ralph,
another
which
movie.
I thought was a twofold reason. First of all, because it's a movie that features video game characters and is about video game characters. And the score is really great because it infuses orchestral music with 8-bit
it's chip wonderful
it's really
guys.
Clever but it's composed by one of my favorite younger film composers, Henry Jackman. He's done movies like Captain America the Winter Soldier. He did Big Hero 6. He did movies like Puss in Boots, and like I said, he did Wreck-It Ralph. He's really good though.
This is absolutely
he
wonderful
has so
track.
Many chops. He can do the kind of modern sound, like I saw Captain Phillips, and that is very kind of par for the course for that
powerful
but,
score
the score but some of his scores are just incredibly melodic and really tuneful.
Yeah, this track, guys, is called Sugar Rush Showdown.
Yeah, and the other thing about Henry Jackman that's kind of exciting is he's going to be doing the score for Just Cause 3 and mm-hmm. Uncharted 4.
I can't wait for
which
Uncharted
are two 4. Unreleased games, but I think those are both going to be examples for him to kind of showcase some really great melodies and his more kind of traditional symphonic
to hear
song.
What he does with Uncharted I'm really 4 excited about particularly. That. Well, guys, I'm really excited for next week. This will hold a record for the longest amount of time in between volumes on our podcast. Next week will be Breakdown and Analysis Volume 2. The first one we did was Episode 10 on our first season years ago.
We had to do another one because otherwise it's like you just have it
Volume 1 and then that's it. So no I'm sequel, so excited so to do that again. Do so what we're going to do next week is we're really going to take a small number of tracks, probably just three beloved tracks, and break them down a lot. Talk about the theory, talk about the composition, maybe play parts of them on the piano.
Right.
Really kind of give you guys maybe more of an educational approach.
Our third brother Marty is going to be joining us on that episode.
Yes.
So for any of you that you know have been fans of ours for a long time, you're definitely going to know who Marty is, and you probably like him. So be sure to tune in for that episode because it's going to be something unique and really fun if you enjoy our kind of music theory analysis stuff.
Because, yeah, I know sometimes on the podcast we kind of throw words around and we don't always have the time to really go into what some of those things mean. So next week will be a good opportunity to do that. Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out.